This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, including my favourite, the quarter pounder with cheese. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, so the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello everybody and welcome to episode number 291 of the Stacey West podcast. I am your host Ben and this week I'm joined by Gaz. How you doing, mate? Are you well?
I'm good. Can you hear that noise? It's the noise of everybody's heart sinking when they hear your voice first and then suddenly picking up when they realise that I'm on as well.
Oh, I've missed this.
I don't know what that would sound like, kind of like, woo, woo. There we go.
It's like hitting the post and then the rebound gets tapped in.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Nobody remembers who hit the post. I like that. That's a good analogy. You've got better in the year that I've avoided doing podcasts with you.
It's not been a year, has it?
No, we've done a couple. We've done a couple this year. It's just obviously the way we work things out at the minute. So we are actually accompanying Jack Mulhall on a marathon. He did tell me where, but I have forgotten. Okay. So Jack, if you're listening and you're only a minute in, you've got a fucking long way to go, fella. Genuinely. So I hope you're not struggling right now. I hope you're not.
Best of luck, Jack. Hope you smash it, mate. You'll be fine.
Yeah, of course he will. I've seen his Strava times. It's ridiculous. Genuinely, I've had cars that don't go as quick as he runs. I remember having this Mazda, and Fee's not listening. She's laughing already. I went and bought this Mazda. It was a Mazda 323, like a really old shape. And there should have been warning signs when I realised that all four of the wheels were different.
That's never a good sign, is it?
The first one was one of those little noddy wheels, you know, the Mickey Mouse retainer wheels that
Space Saver ones.
Yeah. And then the others were, there was an alloy on it, and then there was two different types of wheels. But it cost me £295. And, you know, it might have been crap. Four wheels, window kept falling down, and you had to then open the door to lift the window back up. But it never, ever let me down in terms of getting from A to B. Always started. So that's how I see me as a runner. I'll always get from A to B, but I might just be wearing odd socks. But anyway, that car wasn't as fast as Jack, and it certainly wasn't as fast as Chris Ray and Sam Ray, who are battling with each other ahead of the Lincoln 10K this weekend, Ben.
Yeah, I'm shitting it, mate. I did actually have a quick chat with Chris on Monday, and he was asking about it. He said, you know, you already, how's it going ahead of it? And I said, yeah, it's going okay. I'm getting there, you know, pains are still there, but we're hopefully going to be all right for it. He said, you'll be fine. I'll be all right as long as I beat my brother. So that's where Chris's focus is. My focus at the minute is purely on completion. Me and Charlie will be running together side by side for the whole thing. So initially Charlie said it was because he just wanted a big target so that he could follow, and then he said I lost the weight and there was a problem with that then. So it's crept up while also being that big thing on the horizon. It's just been the sole focus for me for the past 4 months, I think it's been. It's been a tough old journey, but we'll see what happens on Sunday, I guess.
Will you keep running after the 10K?
I will do it to probably keep myself fit.
So not really.
Get myself fit. Probably yeah. Should be the key part there. I'd probably head out once, twice a week and do something to keep something up. But I can't see myself becoming a serious runner. It's never been me. And I think, I've always had problems with my feet. And that's one of the things that's given me grief at the moment. But I'll hopefully be proud to say that I'll have completed it on Sunday, and we'll join you and Chris after you've no doubt had 4 or 5 pints in the time it takes me and Charlie to get around, but you'll be hopefully in the Magna Carta and we'll have a pint.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried myself because last year's time came up on my, I went actively looking for it, so it didn't just pop up. And it came up at 54 minutes, and he's like, I haven't run a 10K since in 54 minutes. I haven't run a 5K in whatever half of 54 minutes is, like 25, 27, something. Do you know what I mean? I don't quite know how that's happened. But then if this is any encouragement to you, it is very, very different on the day to all your training. Because you go out and you do your run. I mean, I did 7K round here yesterday. I'm going to do 9K tomorrow. And you kind of, it's the wind's in your face and there's nobody there and you're just concentrating on the music and you're thinking really inwardly about everything that hurts. And I remember the first 10K I did, which was only not the one as poacher, sorry, the first one I did as a serious concern. I was absolutely shocked because it was like I got to 5K without really thinking, because there's people there and you're looking around and the start is the big thing. And this is like, people are listening to this, so my apologies, but it's like me just trying to give you advice as well. The start is so congested because you're on one side of the road. So this year I'm actually going to wait and just let it go a little bit, because your time is only when you cross the line rather than the gun time. So, you get to the first bend and you think, it's mad. And I think automatically, like I ran yesterday in round here in 28 something on my 10K, on my 5K. But you can take half a minute to a minute off that for the hills round there. You can take half a minute to a minute off it for the wind in your face. Then I can probably add take another 30 seconds off just for the trying to get past people who are in front of you. Like you and Charlie will be running side by side. Oh, it'll be brilliant. But there'll be somebody behind you just wanting to get through that gap. And that's all right when there's two of you. But I think last year I got stuck behind about 4 women all in there, kind of, we're running for breast cancer. Great, great charity, all that sort of thing. Linking arms, running. And I'm just thinking, do you know what? It's absolutely brilliant. But next year you might have to be running for a concussion charity if you don't get out of my bloody... No, that's...
No, but like I say, I'm looking forward to it. I'm sort of looking forward to the camaraderie on the day and everybody getting to, just being in it together. And I think... The thing that I'm most proud of, to be honest, is the fact that, when we went out and when we all agreed to it, or I was agreed into it, shall we say, it was I would never have even considered walking 10K. I think it would have been a real, real challenge, and I'm now at a point where I could do that comfortably. It's just how much of it I'll be able to run on Sunday. So.
The Lego store was 10 kilometers and every shelf was different, would you have an issue with doing 10K?
It would take me about a week because I'd stop at every shelf.
Yeah. But you'd be fit because you'd be carrying every box as well, wouldn't you? You'd be pulling around a trolley the size of like 3 Range Rovers. So just as an update for people who don't know, and you may have figured it out by now anyway, but we are running the 10K for in aid of the Lincoln City Foundation. I haven't done as much on the foundation as I wanted to in the run-up with the with my honeymoon and the stag weekend recently that we went on, all that sort of stuff. It's been a challenging time. So we had a £400 target, which was £100 each, which I think was the commitment that you made to run through the foundation. As of now, which is 5 to 6 on Thursday, the 11th of April, £1,430. So we are £70 off raising £1,500. Even Fee's a bit shocked. She sat next to me. She said, well done. It's really funny because for the last 2 hours, Fee's been working next to me with her earphones in. And every time I've said anything to her, I've had to look at her, and then she's tapped her earphones as if, I'm not listening to you, I don't care. I start recording the podcast, she takes her earphones out, secret podcast listener.
Secret one half of the podcast listener. Rach secret gets my one, off, yeah. So I think Fee gets the better end of the deal there, doesn't she?
Oh, don't be so self-deprecating, Benjamin. She does, but don't. Nobody likes a martyr.
But yeah, look, I mean, it's a phenomenal effort from everybody that's helped us out or from everybody that's contributed. I just want to say thanks for that. It's the reason that we're doing it. I think everything positive that's happened as a byproduct's just a bit of a happy accident in that.
Yeah, it's great. So, can I just say as well that out of that £1,429.33, there's another £342 gift aid.
Yeah, of course.
On top
yeah.
of that. So the way things are going, it's going to be closing in on £2,000. I mean, I think we've thanked Belgate Corporate Clothing, Stu Fox and Marl already as well. But yeah, there's everybody. There's some people that will have put a fiver in who, you know, that's a lot of money for some people. And so it's just great. Everybody's been so really, really kind.
Yeah.
And now all we've got to do is get round.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think, you know, we've had people come up to us at the ground, give us a few quid here and there at the ground. It's been really, really, you know, really nice. And just before we move on, I just want to give a special thank you shout out to Lynx Injury Clinic, who were the only place at the time that had a sports massage session available. Easy for me to say. And I booked it in and I've been going there for the past 4 or 5 weeks and they get paid to hurt me physically as opposed to you who hurts me emotionally for free.
How do I apply for that?
I think it probably needs a degree in sports science of some description.
Oh, thanks to ChatGPT, I probably have something up by the end of the day. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, like knots the size of a golf ball in my leg earlier this week, and then just went to town on it. It was fun.
I know that we're 10 minutes in, and apologies to people, but just one last thing on the running chat. You know, the first time I did the 10K, I had to go to a sports injury clinic as well. Mm. I went to the one in Louth. I can't think what it's called. I paid for it once, and then but it's tough, and it does get easier, mate. It does, and I think you know of all four of us getting round, I think. And I don't want this to sound condescending in any way at all, and it may do, which would be unusual. But I genuinely think you getting round will be the biggest achievement out of all of us. Charlie has run despite not being able to see anything. And obviously Chris has found it difficult recently, but he's not in a gay way, but obviously he's fit. So I think you getting round will be a big, big achievement. So well done on getting to this point, and just don't let us down Sunday. Otherwise we're firing you.
I do think that might be the case, but we'll see.
You'll do it, mate. It don't matter if you get around in 3 hours. It'll be more of an achievement than me doing it in one.
I'll be all right. So, so obviously we only have one game this week, so we needed something to talk about. So we had a little bit of a chat, and we decided that now is probably the right time to start looking ahead towards some player of the season type chat. So we've had a bit of a look, and I think you've got a couple of you've got a stat or two from the blog, and some of the polls that have been on there, the number of man of the matches, I think, and we've obviously got some opinions of our own. So do you want to take us away with some bits from the readers?
Yeah, of course. What I would say is if anyone can hear quite farty or growly noises in the background, it's actually my dog snoring. He hasn't snored all day. And now all of a sudden he's laid down. I think he's been knackered because we've had... There we go. Right, just one second. Charlie, thank you. Because it was getting worse. We've had somebody in working under the stairs today. So I think he's tired now from not being asleep for that. So, yeah, player of the year. So it's coming around to that time. There'll be votes around the ground. I think it's the Reddings Community Trust handle the Vic Withers player of the year now. Excuse me. And I think... Excuse me, sorry. I think it's the tightest player of the year for many seasons. I remember 2 years ago when it was won by, was it 2 years now? It might even be more than that, when it was won by Regan Poole. And I think Brooke Norton Cuffey, I think, came second, and he only played 13 games or something like that. He won Young Player of the Year. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of choice. And even last year, thinking back, I think it was just centre-backs, wasn't it? Potentially you could have had Ben House, but I think it was between Pordy and Adam Jackson. But this year there are genuinely, I mean, I did a little TikTok earlier, genuinely I think at least four contenders, at least four. But what I don't want to give too much away from the Stacey West one, because we do it a little bit differently. everybody does a vote. So I know Chris Ray Imptoons does an Imptoons Player of the Year. They do the Vic Withers Player of the Year. So there's more votes. I think Vitals do one. I think All Lincoln do one. So everybody does a vote. What we do is slightly different. We have ratings all the way through the season, and those ratings go into a Player of the Year. I can tell you who the top five are in no particular order, but I don't want to give too much away until the end of the season. What I can tell you is Man of the Matches, and I think this is interesting because there's a real clear top five on Man of the Matches, and it doesn't include one of the players who I think is a Player of the Season. In fact, a guy I think is up there for Player of the Season hasn't had a single Man of the Match, which I think is really interesting. So top of leading the way at the moment on Man of the Matches is Lucas Jensen with 8. And then tied Alex Mitchell and Ethan Arahan on 7. Ethan Hamilton on 6 and Adam Jackson on 5. Now, I think Sean Rowan is in this conversation. He hasn't got a single Man of the Match. And Lasse Sorensen, who's only got 1. So I think that's quite interesting.
I think the thing that can be said there, particularly when it comes to Sean Rowan, is we talk a lot about, you know, if we can have a player that's a 7 or an 8 every week, and you consider them to be, you know, the jewels in the squad. If you've got a player that's a consistent, you know, 7.5, 8 out of 10 every single week, but then one other player in the side gets a 9 or, you know, has an absolute blinder, that player's going to get the plaudits for the Man of the Match. But the consistency across the season, that's almost, to me, seems like one of the, well, probably a more important factor if you've got a player that's consistently brilliant throughout the season. And even though he doesn't have a Man of the Match, it's easy to see that, yeah, Sean Rowan should be in that conversation.
Now, in terms of ratings, now, this is in no particular order. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think there are 8 players who have got an average rating of more than 7. Okay. And some of the, there's a couple of them that aren't actually eligible for the Player of the Year because they don't have enough games. You've got to win the Stacey West, you've got to have played more than half the games, and that's league and cup. So you're talking people in the end who are 25 games ish or over. And there are 2 in this, 3 in this that have not played 25 games. So, but in no particular order, the players that are up for Player of the Season, it's actually 9. It's Conor McGrandles, who obviously can't win it, but McGrandles in 5 games averaged 7.90. He was absolutely on fire. But then, let's say, no particular order, Lucas Jensen, Ethan Hamilton, Ethan Arahan, Adam Jackson, Joe Taylor, whose numbers won't quite be high enough, Alex Mitchell, who I might have already mentioned there. But 2 interesting ones, Rico Hackett and TJ Omer. Both over 7. So, look, if I was to say to you then, Ben, you've got to vote for a 1, 2, 3, because I think that's what you do on the Vic Withers. I might be wrong, or it might be a 1, 2. Without kind of going too deep in, well, we can go too deep into it, but let's say 3, 2, 1. So who would be your third pick? Who would your bronze medalist be?
I'd go with Alex Mitchell.
He's your bronze medalist?
Yep. Because I think that it is a very, very tough choice to make, because we've had a, you know, particularly the second half of the season, we've been fantastic. And, you know, the run that we've been on obviously contributes to that significantly, and we're absolutely flying at the moment. But I think Mitchell's been a consistent performer all the way through the season. I just think there's 2 more players in, well, particularly in that list, that will fall slightly above him for me.
No, how about yours? I frustrated myself because I did a TikTok earlier while I was walking the dog of my top 5, and I didn't put Alex Mitchell in at all. And that's absolutely criminal. It really is, because he's been superb. It is criminal that I haven't put him in, and I feel incredibly guilty to that.
Charlie will be very upset with you.
Charlie will be very, very upset with me. He will indeed. But my number 3 would be Sean Rowan, because I think that he is something of an unsung hero. And I think there's elements why Rico Hackett isn't in this car, apart from the time of his injury. But Hackett's great going forward, but you don't think of him as much kind of a little bit further back. And he's kind of played that wing-back role, whereas sometimes Rowan is seen as the left-sided wing-back. So then you're thinking of him in an attacking sense. And sometimes think, well, he's not that great going forward, which he's not actually that bad. His mistakes get highlighted much more. So there was the home game against Leighton Orient where he put a couple of bad crosses in, and then coming away from the ground, people are saying to me, Sean Rowan didn't have a good game. And I'm like, well, he's playing left centre back. We kept a clean sheet and we're barely threatened all game. Do you know what I mean? So has he not had a bad game? Or is it, I think it's that confirmation bias, Chris calls it, where you're watching a game. If you think somebody isn't doing well, you will look for the things they do badly. You won't look for the things they do well. Mm-hmm. And I think to a degree, and I might be wrong here, I don't know, I think there are some people that think back to the summer with Sean Rowan, the whole, is he going to sign a contract? Yeah. Is he going to try and get himself another deal? Which I just think, you know, that shouldn't cloud a judgment at all, because he's a young man. He's got the world at his feet. He was entitled to go out and see what else was out there. He came back and signed for us. I actually think he's been excellent. I think it's easy to forget how young he is. I think he's one of the best young defenders in this division. He's naturally left footed. I don't think he often puts a foot wrong. And whilst we talk about Alex Mitchell and we talk about Pordy O'Connor and we talk about Adam Jackson, all really good defenders, but actually, I think Sean Rowan has started just as many games in the league this season as any of them. And I think that's I'm going to have to double check that now just to make sure that I'm not wrong.
Yeah, Rowan started 30, played 31 with four off the bench.
Yeah.
So, Pordy's 32 with two off the bench. Mitchell's 30 with two off the bench. So, yeah.
There you go. So he started as many games as those players. So if, for me, he's got to be up there with them. So he would be third for me. Shall I go to my silver now?
Yep.
And then throw it over to you for silver and gold. Yep. My silver's the big man, Lucas Jensen. I think the intrinsic value of having a goalkeeper that you own, as we have with Lucas Jensen, is massively underrated. We've done really well with goalkeepers. When you think that Josh Griffiths was probably one of the weakest that we've had, and he was an England under 21 international. Carl Rushworth was excellent. Alex Palmer was excellent. We've borrowed some really, really good goalkeepers. I did say Carl Rushworth, didn't I? Because last time Carl Griffiths, who was a Manchester City striker. So Carl Rushworth, Josh Griffiths, Alex Palmer, I mean, they're good keepers. We've got a keeper now who's on a par with them, 19 clean sheets. I think he's kept this season, 18 clean sheets. So he's looking for the 19, which would match Carl Rushworth, which is great. His handling's really good, but he's our keeper. And I think that's really important. He's somebody that we know we've got next season, and we know we've got Pordy, we know we've got Adam Jackson, we know we've got Sean Rowan, unless somebody comes in for these players. So it's that solidity. But look, you don't win player of the year because you're our player. You don't win player of the year because you understand your defence. You win player of the season, in my mind, because you put in match-winning performances. And particularly, I think Bristol Rovers, I wasn't there for that, but we won 5-0. We could have been 3-2 down at half-time. Do you know what I mean? It was close. They could have scored two or three, I think, after the goal. He made the big saves. I think when you're up there, your keepers nearly always had to have had a decent season. You know, even if you're top of the table, you don't get top of the table because teams don't get shots against you. You'll always face shots. You get top of the table because when those opportunities do happen, when those moments do happen, your key players step up. And I think Lucas Jensen has made as many critical saves for Lincoln City this season as the strikers have scored goals.
Yeah, 100%. I think we may have a similar top two, just slightly in a slightly different order.
I've ruined your big reveal now. Okay, fair enough.
My number two is Ethan Arahan. I think he's been absolutely sensational in that holding position. He's obviously come in, and he's. I think I said towards the end of. Towards the end of last season, that for me, players like Ted Bishop are better players when Ethan Arahan's on the pitch, because he allows them to have that freedom without the sort of just that little thought in the back of your mind, like, oh, what happens if I lose this? You know, where does it? You know, he's got that covered, and he will back them up. And I think the ability that gives other players in the team, it's not all about him in this instance. For me, that's what sets him apart from other good midfielders that we've had in the squad. I mean, I know Ethan Hamilton's obviously up in the conversation as well, but for me, Arahan just brings something else. It's just that little bit of extra spice, I suppose. Obviously, he's got his game management skills as well are second to none. The only reason that I think he's my second choice as opposed to my top choice, is that I think there is at times possibly a conversation to be had around discipline and how far he goes with his game management stuff. Yeah, when he opens his mouth a little bit too much. But yeah, he's been a sensational signing for us. And I think there's been chatter among other club media. I think there was a Carlisle podcast that said that, you know, there've been championship clubs sniffing around him already, and it's not hard to see why. I think we've got him at a level at the moment that's beneath him, and hopefully he can play in the championship with us, but I don't think it'll be long before we'll be in that division anyway.
Interesting. I think it's interesting when you talk there about discipline, because when you think about some of our former players of the season, Bradley Wood in 2016, Michael Boswick in 2019, yeah. Bordy to a degree in 2023, Alan Power in 2013. We do sometimes quite like a combative, combative player. I mean, I'm looking there at a couple of others as well over the years. So, but yeah, I mean, we have got the same one too. So rather than going into your gold, I'll pick up on Arahan and then let you pick up on Jensen.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're absolutely right. What I like about Ethan Arahan is the holding midfield role is vastly underrated. So if you get noticed playing in the holding midfield role, you're doing something right. Liam Bridcut was superb in it, for my opinion. Another one, Alex Woodyard, player of the year in 2017, was superb in that role. You know, Woodyard didn't score goals, he didn't create assists, and he wasn't one keeping clean sheets, but he won player of the year in a season that we got to the FA Cup quarter final. Why? Because you're the heartbeat of the team. I like Ethan Arahan's bite. Sometimes, yeah, maybe needs to close his mouth, but there's too much fervour and excitement about picking up a booking for dissent these days. Mm. And in Nick Hawkesbury, if Nick's listening, and he doesn't mind, because I can be critical of Nick like I can be critical of you, he messaged me on Monday, I think it was, or Saturday rather, I lose track of all the days, he messaged me on Saturday with Arahan picked up another silly booking for talking. And it's like, yeah, but there isn't a huge detriment to that. If he gets a yellow card and pays a fine or whatever, yeah, fair enough. But I don't think there's a huge detriment to that. Not if it's a sense, you know. Like, I see you want to say something, so I'll let you.
Well, it's just on that. When we talk about the yellow card, can you see that yellow card in any of the stats in any of the games on any of the sites that you're on? Because me and Charlie,
I am really. Look.
Well, me and Charlie picked up on this at the weekend. That booking doesn't appear for us on any sites that we can see. But the referee clearly showed a yellow card and, you know, gave it the crab hands to say, you know, shut up.
No, it doesn't show on there at all.
So, yeah, that's a weird one. But anyway, yeah, so carry on. I do agree.
I do agree. so that's why I'd pick Ethan Arahan. And, you know, I think you said there, he makes players around him better. He does. I think, you know, we got overrun in midfield against Orient. That point against Reading, I know you've already done a podcast on it, that was a good point against a good side who will be in the top six or seven if they're still around next season. So there was no shame in that. And a player like Arahan is absolutely crucial to that. It's interesting that you did mention Ethan Hamilton as well, because he played 30 games, but he's not being mentioned in the Player of the Year chatter that I've seen, purely because he's now out. But he would definitely be in and around that. And I mean, other players that, you know, I've seen, Lasse Sorensen mentioned, he should be in that conversation, Adam Jackson. But I'm going with Ethan Arahan, and you're going with Lucas.
I'm going with Jensen. Lucas Jensen. Yeah. I think he's the reasons that you've said about, you know, having a goalkeeper that's your own is obviously, you know, quite a big thing at this stage. We've talked before, and I think we've both said that a lone goalkeeper is the position where a loan makes sense more than a lot of other positions, because you can only have one at a top club.
So better the others value. Come out.
Yeah.
Better value.
Yeah. Whereas I think we've really struck gold with Lucas. I know there was a discussion around at the start of the season that's probably persisted a little bit, which I think Chris and Charlie looked at dissecting at one point about his distribution. But honestly, if you can have a keeper that can keep 19 clean sheets all season or more, who occasionally skews one out for a throw-in, I'm more than happy with that. I mean, he's made some big, big saves. He's not afraid to put his head where it hurts. I mean, we did see that at the weekend against Reading. You know, he goes down for a save that probably in some respects didn't necessarily have any right to make, gets a knee to the back of the head, and he gets up and gets on with it. You know, I think he's a brave goalkeeper. He's a big lad as well. I'm delighted that he's ours on a full permanent contract. I have seen some people suggesting, "Oh, can we get him on a permanent deal?" It's like he's on one. Like it's
surprised yeah. You knew that.
Thank you, Gary. I've missed this, I think he's just been a superb signing, and it says a lot that we've got. You know, I know a lot of like the one of the lowest XG stats I think in the division is it XG against. We're one of the lowest in the Division 4. I know that a lot of that's going to fall to the defence, but also when you look at the number of goals that we've conceded, we're also down the bottom on, we're near the top of those stats as well. And to me, if you've got a solid defence that very rarely gets breached, once that defence does get breached, you've got Lucas Jensen backing them up. And I think for me, I don't think there's too many better keepers in the division that I'd want between the six if that happens.
Just to round this bit off, who do you think the fans will vote for? It's a different thing. Who do you think universally will be player of the year?
Given everything that we've just said about though, you know, the four players that we've mentioned, I think it will either go to Ethan Arahan or Lars Sorensen.
Right. So that's not an answer, is it? Because I said who. You've got to pick one. You can't pick two. Don't hate Ethan. Your best. I think it'll be Ethan as well.
Yeah.
I think he'll win it. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's our take on what we are thinking potentially for player of the season. Obviously, a couple of weeks to go. We'll see how that one pans out. But we're also thinking about any possible new names coming in over the close season that will join those for the rest or for next season. You had a piece today, which I think you said Football Insider, reporting that we are currently in another tussle with Oxford United in an attempt to sign Dunfermline defender Josh Edwards. So, give us a bit of background on that one, Gaz, because you're smirking at me and I know the reason why, and I'm hoping that you don't mention it.
So Josh Edwards is a fullback, 23-year-old left-back playing for Dunfermline. He started life out at Airdrie. So he's played in the Scottish First Division, got moved into the Scottish Championship, then dropped out of the Scottish First Division, then got promoted again with Dunfermline, ended up in the team of the season. So he's still only 23. He's top of quite a couple of the... He's up there in a couple of the metrics on the Y Scout. So he's second in division in terms of numbers of defensive duels, fourth for interceptions, third for crosses from the left flank. So he's a little bit of an all-rounder. Really, really highly rated. Y Scout have an index. We've spoken about this. I think Chris spoke about it the night where it tells you who they think the best players in a position are statistically across the whole genre, so to speak. And Josh Edwards is rated as the best lateral defender, so wide defender in the entire Scottish Championship. So it's an interesting one. Barnsley had a bid turned down for him on deadline day. That bid was thought to be somewhere in the region of six figures, so £100,000 plus for those who are bad at maths. That was turned down, but Dunfermline at the time were in just as much danger of going down as going up. So I think they were 4 points off the relegation spots and 4 points off the promotion spots. This summer, they've got a big decision to make because he's out of contract at the in summer 2025. So he can walk away for nothing because he's over 23. So whether they choose to cash in on him or not will be the big question. I think they'll cash in on him. I think he'll move. Whether us or Oxford go up, if one of us doesn't, continues to show interest in him, he's more likely to move. As I think I pointed out with Josh Bowler of Blackpool, he was at Everton, I think, and been released. So he was between us and Blackpool. Blackpool went up, they got him. So that's one interesting one. There's a couple of others that I don't think we've mentioned on the podcast before while we're talking about player rumours. Mm-hmm. One of them is excuse me. So one of them is a midfielder rather called Dylan Sloan. So he plays for Larn. Larn are the team that we signed Jeff Hughes from. Mm-hmm. It's a team that we've certainly visited and we've certainly bought players from before. We were linked with him back in October. He's a relatively new face. When we were linked with him, he'd only just broken into the Larn side, but he's now had the full season, done really well for them. I think he's 19. I haven't got it in front of me at the moment. I seem to remember him being 19 or 20, something like that. So he's a youngster still. A little bit like, I think, Cenan Mullen, who we were linked with, who went to Torino. He's that kind of player, I think. So he would be one for the future. But again, like Oisin Gallagher, for instance. Mm-hmm. The final player we've been linked with, because I can keep an eye on the time there, is Lee Bonis. Now, Lee Bonis is a player that we've been linked with before. So he's a striker. He scored, I think, 27 goals this season in 41 matches. He scored in the Champions League for HJL Helsinki, which is ironically where Luke Plange has just gone, who hasn't scored 27 goals in his career. He scored 16 in the league. He also plays for Larn. Look, he's been linked with a move to England time and again. I think he was on trial at Burnley or was linked with Burnley before us. He was linked with us. Then there was multiple teams linked with him last summer and the summer before. He's 24, I think, now. So he's somebody who really, if he's going to step up, if he's going to come to England, it's going to be this summer. Wouldn't surprise me again if a team who go up might be looking at him. I mean, I'm just looking at clubs that he's been linked with: Derby, Dundee United, Bolton, Blackpool, Birmingham, Wigan, Portsmouth. I mean, it's easier to spot who he's not been linked with. Difference would be that there would still be a fee for him, and they're talking about a fee of €300,000, which was about $250,000, about £250,000. That's a lot of money. It's not the sort of money that we spend on players regularly. It is the sort of money that it's not unusual. If we were to spend it, you wouldn't go, because John Akindi collectively, £325,000 all in. Ethan Arahan, I'm led to believe, around the £200,000 mark. So you know, if we think a player's worth it, we'll go for it. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if none of those players end up signing for us, but you know, we needed to fill some podcast minutes, didn't we?
Absolutely. It's something to talk about. Right, we've got a little bit more to talk about when we come back, because we are going to take a very short break now. When we do come back, Charlie will be talking to Adam Pendlebury from The Real EFL about the Wigan game at the weekend. And then you'll get our take on it as well. So we'll see you in a sec.
Hi, I'm Lass Sorensen. You're listening to the Stacey West Podcast.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, including my favourite, the quarter pounder with cheese. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, so the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Stacey West and to another preview for Cup Finals to go. We all know what we need to do to get into that top six, and that starts with a pretty much a must win, I would say, at home on Saturday to a Wigan Athletic side who, let's be honest, their season could very much peter out now, and not too many of them would really care, considering they're in a safe position and far too far away from those playoff positions. To have a little look at the opposition view, I am joined by Adam Pendlebury from the Progress with Unity podcast. Adam, how are we doing, mate?
Yeah, very good. Very good, thanks. Yeah, I'm in good health. Weather's terrible, as always, in Wigan. Football hasn't been great, but life in general is good. And like you said, we will be playing League One football next season. And overall, it's been a good season. So I'm always, even though this glass here is half empty, I'm a glass half full.
Love it. No, exactly. You will be playing League One football next season. There's effectively, is there mathematically zero chance?
Yes, either way. Mathematically safe on Tuesday. Yeah. So yeah, get it. We got the champagne out. We didn't really, because we've been. I think we've been safe. We hit that point tally about 4 weeks ago, really, and not won a game since, but. We've done all the hard work, haven't we? I mean, really, if you think about it, we're going into the last, we've been going in the last three games, but the first four games of the season, essentially, was where we got rid of that 8-point deficit, and we did a lot of our hard work there and then won games when we needed to. And we've got to a point now where, like you said, realistically, we didn't have a chance of the playoffs. We were pretty much there. But that said, when we had a discussion a few weeks ago, I think we were on the EFL League One podcast, and I think Wigan and Lincoln were in very similar positions in the table. If Lincoln might have been a point behind Wigan.
I'm trying to think whether we were ever behind you in the, I think, and I know there was the conversation back when we last played in December, and there's been a few times since then as well, that you technically 8 points behind us. So, you know, if it wasn't for the points deduction, you would have been on level pegging with us. And I guess, that's kind of the perfect place to sort of start that. Because, look, your season, the start of your season was defined by this 8-point deduction. You know, last summer for you wasn't about a normal transfer window. It was defined by all the goings on off the pitch, which, it's never nice to see, even, as an opposition fan. That's not something you want to see. You want to see other teams preparing in the same way that you are for a season. And I remember looking at Wigan and, genuinely being worried about the position you were in, like we have been with Reading all season. And then you managed to eclipse that points deduction almost immediately. What was it, within four games? And since then, you've come on really strong. And is there an argument that if you didn't have that points deduction, but everything else had still gone on, but you didn't have the points deduction, could you have been in a much higher league position? Because let's be honest, you'd have been spurred on a lot more recently because you'd have had something to play for, maybe.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, really, because I think we certainly have shown through the season with some of the victories that we've had. I mean, we've beaten Peterborough twice. We won at Derby on the first day of the season. We've beaten Bolton twice. We've beaten Oxford. Obviously, we drew with yourselves. We'll see what happens on Saturday. So the sides sort of higher up the table, we've performed. Blackpool's another one they're quite high in the table, although they're not going to make the playoffs. But, we seem to save our performances for the better sides, and we've really struggled against the sides sort of from the middle to the bottom. So it's difficult, really, because it's a young side. I think they get that sort of energised and big games for them. They can up their game. Whereas when it comes to those really tough games against teams like Stevenage, those types of games, and then some of the sides like Burton and Port Vale, who we haven't beaten this season, I think they haven't got the nous yet to know how to win those type of games. And also, as well, I don't think we're ready in any way, shape or form. The infrastructure is nowhere near ready for the championship. So I think, yes, technically speaking, you can always sneak in that sixth place and then you can get lucky and get promoted. But I just think it would definitely be too soon. I think in terms of the project moving forward, I think this is where most people would be happy to be if we'd have taken it from the start of the season.
I'm Lucas Jensen, and you're listening to Stacey West Podcast.
And there we go. Thank you to Adam and Charlie for a little bit of insight ahead of the game at the bank at the weekend. So, Gary, Wigan at the weekend. It's obviously every game at the minute is getting bigger and bigger as time goes on. We will doubtless have our phones at least with alerts on for other games that are happening around us. But our primary attention will be focused and on the pitch as the Imps take on Wigan. How have you seen Wigan so far? Obviously, they've had a points deduction this season. So is it a situation where they're in a definitely, you know, definite false position? Or would they, you know, do you think they'd probably be a little bit near enough where they are at the moment?
Well, first of all, obviously, they've had 8 points deducted. So if you put those 8 points on, they'd be on 62. So they would, I mean, I know it seems obvious, but they'd be better off than where they are now, wouldn't they, Ben?
Yeah, you know what I mean, though.
But they wouldn't be that much better off because they're 13th now, and with those 8 points, they'd be 10th.
Yeah.
So without sounding too detrimental to teams in that block, because that was us last year, you know, we finished 11th, but we could have been 15th. It was pretty much of a muchness. So the problem with Wigan, and I'm sure I haven't listened to what Adam Pendlebury has to say. He's a great guy, by the way, from the Real EFL. He's also from a Latics podcast. The name escapes me. Is they're wildly inconsistent. I mean, they had a phenomenal run back in October where they beat Exeter, Oxford, Shrewsbury, lost to Charlton, but then they beat Exeter in the FA Cup, they beat Peterborough. They then had three draws, three wins, another draw. They lost one between October the 7th and December the 9th. They did really well. But their recent results, it's just patchy again. I mean, you look at Charlton 2-2, decent result on Saturday. Port Vale, on Tuesday that was. But then Port Vale, 0-0 on Saturday, not a great result. Lost 3-1 to Cambridge on the Easter Monday, not a great result. Drew with Burton, not a great result. And then before that, they beat Blackpool. It's just, and they beat Leighton Orient before that, but losing to Wigan. So they're so wildly inconsistent. They're not in a false position because of that. They have some really good players. I'll talk about setup in a minute, but Charlie Kelman's one that jumped out at me. I think he's hoping to go to the Olympics this summer. I can't think who it's with. Charlie Kelman, I've known for quite a long while. Not personally, obviously. I've known of him because he was a Southend youngster. You remember when Southend were really crap and they were having to play all of their young players? Well, Kelman was one of the players who came through. And it might have been his debut. It might have been a couple of games after, but he scored from the halfway line against Plymouth. And I remember writing about it, and he was the next big thing. He was going to be everything phenomenal. He scored against us that day that we lost 2-1 there. Do you remember that? When they were more or less relegated under Michael Appleton, and they were terrible. It's the United States he's hoping to go to the Olympics with. He's on loan from QPR. He hasn't really lived up to that early promise. He's 22 now. He hasn't really lived up to the promise he showed at Southend. I mean, he hasn't scored a league goal. He didn't score for QPR or Gillingham. He did score two against Charlton in midweek, though. So he's a player I like. And I also really like Thomas Asgard as well. Now, his name might ring a bell because I think he came on or he played against us when we drew 0-0 at their place earlier in the season. And he was superb. Also, his surname sounds like something from Skyrim or a role-playing game, doesn't it? Like Thomas Asgard.
That's where Thor's from.
That's where I've heard it from. Well, obviously I haven't because I don't.
Because you're not a nerd.
Yeah. Really interesting thing about Wigan. So on Tuesday night, they had three players called Smith.
Yeah, I saw that on one of the things. I was like, is that a glitch? Or no, it's, yeah.
So they had Matt Smith, who was an Arsenal and Doncaster central midfielder. Really, I quite like him. Johnny Smith, who, again, a player that I liked, tormented us one Boxing Day for Burton Albion. Real nippy, handy little player. And then a guy called Scott Smith, I think, who's come through the youth ranks there. They also had three players called Charlie as well. Charlie Kelman, Charlie Good, and Charlie Hughes. Because I know all you need, if you called Charlie Smith, you want to be getting
the chances of having three players with the same first name, three players with the same second name, and one of them doesn't cross between them. That's pretty good.
I think that was pretty good.
Here's something for people to cling to. So I'm talking about players I like. I think any one of those players that I've just mentioned is a regular in our match day squad, if not in and around our first team. So they have got some good players. But their away form is poor.
Mm-hmm.
So they've won 5 away from home this season, which when you look down the leagues, you know, it's the same as Shrewsbury. It's only one more than Port Vale, Cheltenham and Carlisle. So away from home, they're not great. They've conceded 36 goals away from home. Only Carlisle with 37 and Reading on 41 and Northampton on 40 have conceded more. So, you know, they'd be bottom four in terms of goals conceded away from home. They're like Reading. Their home form is good with 12 wins, only 18 goals conceded, but they're not playing at home this weekend. They're playing away. So I think they're a little bit of a different prospect. They don't have a huge amount to play for. You know, if they're looking up the table, the most they could get would be 9 points to finish 10th. They're not going to do that. They're probably going to finish in 13th where they are. You know, it's not about taking the foot off the gas, so to speak. But for me, they're there for the taking. In terms of numbers and tactics, sorry, I see you looking blank there, Ben. Are you all right?
I'm fine. I'm actually trying to find something out just quickly while you are talking as well. So carry on.
Well, if you're bored, that doesn't bode well for the listenership. I hope we haven't sent Jack to sleep, who's he might have to listen back again. So they tend to play all sorts of different formations. Normally a 3 at the back, so they played a 3-4-2-1 quite defensive against Charlton, 3-4-3 against Port Vale. They were 3-4-1-2 when they beat Blackpool, but they can play 4 as well, 4-4-2 against Wigan, 4-2-3-1 against Cambridge. So they do mix it up a little bit. And looking at the XG stats, they're not bad. They drew with Burton, but the XG was only 1.03. They got lucky, really, against Blackpool with a 0.68. They're still a good side. They're still a side that can hurt you. This isn't like playing a Burton or a Fleetwood at this stage of the season, which, you know, as we saw last weekend with Oxford and Blackpool, that it's pretty much a gimme when you're playing those teams. I mean, they're really poor. Is it Burton and Fleetwood? Oxford have just played back to back. I mean, they're two.
Yeah.
They're awful sides. I can't wait for them to be relegated. Nobody wants to play. You can't. You look at, I hope I don't offend anyone. I'm going off on a tangent a bit, but you look at Burton and Fleetwood. You don't feel like you're in the third tier of English football, do you? Just one outside the fifth or sixth or seventh most supported league in the division. Fleetwood Town. I mean, seriously, come on. And people are going on about, you know, don't want Wrexham to come up, we don't want this team to come up or that team to come up. You know, if it's Stockport, if it's Wrexham, at least they're proper bloody teams. Burton Albion, honestly. No, honestly, seriously though, you know, they've had their time. They're a well-run club. I've got a little bit more respect for Burton, but gee, you go there and it's, you may as well go to Crawley, haven't you, or Harrogate or something.
How to Make Friends and Influence People by Gary Hutchinson.
Well, there's not going to be. I don't think we know any Burton or Fleetwood fans, do we? Nappers is probably too busy to listen to our podcast, and Jake might tell him if Jake listens to it. But, you know, it's not like I've been nice about Fleetwood in the past. They're run by a crook. They've been elevated to where they are based on dodgy money. In fact, that's a real massive distinction, isn't it, between Burton and Fleetwood. At least Burton have done it with clean money. Fleetwood's the equivalent of the mafia buying up your local pub, isn't it? And you're still going in there.
Yeah. Anyway. So, I mean, let's look at us.
Oh, Wigan. Yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah. So let's have a look at us then. I know, obviously, in his pre-match today, Marcus Kubala has not spoken about Ben House ahead of the game. Because House went off on Saturday against Reading. So there's possibly a question mark there. However, he has talked about Danny Mandroyu. Mandroyu's back on the grass. He's training. He's fit. And then he's also said that Ted has felt his hamstring this week a little bit. So how do we see the potential lineup for the weekend? Will there be any major changes from Saturday? And do we think we can keep the run going? I mean, obviously, in terms of playoff aspirations, we have to. But I just wonder. It looked a little bit leggy on Saturday against Reading at times. I think it was a tough game to go to. Obviously, as you said at the start of the podcast, you know that they're a decent side, and I think it was a. I think a draw was a fair result in the end, you know, given everything that had gone on. But can we take it another step further tomorrow? As well, tomorrow, as most people will be listening to it, and get that win.
It's quite a lot of questions there, isn't there? I don't know about Ben House, whether that might have been more precaution. I don't know. And like you say, he didn't speak about Ben House. He wasn't asked about Ben House, which is also crucial. Are we going back to the days of Mark Kennedy where it's the questions that are not asked are more crucial than the ones that are? Danny Mandroy is back in training, but Ted Bishop may not be. So that would seem like a relatively straightforward swap. I mean, Ted's been completing minutes, you know, for Ted Bishop now to complete a game is not unusual. It's completed 90 minutes in the last three games that he has started, I believe. So, you know, he's a player that we can rely upon. Joe Taylor obviously is going to be fit, so he's going to be firing. You'd have no problems with Freddie coming in against him. I mean, Fred's been really unlucky, by the way, because good player, puts himself about, you know, he can torment defences, but when Ben House has been fit, he plays. Joe Taylor's been scoring goals regularly, so I'm not too fussed, I don't think, about that. The midfield's always going to be my issue at the moment. Losing Hamilton and McGrandles was a real blow. I think Jack Moylan's run hot and cold, as you would expect from a young lad. Yeah, I think he's been anonymous over the last couple of games. He's the sort of player that you might be thinking, well, we could give him a rest, but then where do you bring somebody else in from? Jack Burrows could play central midfield, but that's more of a holding midfield. We're not going to go into this game with two in holding midfield. You know, we're going to be looking at going into this game wanting to attack and win it. I don't agree that we have to win. I don't know if you said win the game or just not lose the game to keep our playoff aspirations alive, but, you know, Oxford have got three tough games now in Stevenage, us and Peterborough. I don't think they'll get a lot against Peterborough on Saturday. So I think we'll be looking at our phones thinking, hang on, we can take something from this. And realistically, you know, we could still draw the Wigan game and Oxford win and go to Oxford and get a win. We'd still be behind them, I believe, then on points. But there's a lot of football still to play, even though there's only four games. Yeah, when you break it down, Barnsley are in free fall, Stevenage, and I think who Stevenage got to play? Is it? Oh no, Blackpool. Barnsley still got to play Blackpool. So it's really interesting. I think we keep the run going on Saturday, and I'm a pessimist, but I can see us. I can see us winning the game. I'll be honest, I can. Look, I think the game against Reading, like I've said, they're a side that I think will be top six if they're still around next season. They've got good players. They're well organised. They're well managed. He's a good coach. He's one of those coaches that when he went in there, you kind of think, well, is he going to be a name and kind of let him down a little bit when, you know, sometimes a big name comes, but he's not. He's done really well. And then before that, we'd won five on the spin anyway. So I have every confidence that this Lincoln City team are going to break a habit of falling at the last hurdle. I'm looking at these last games. I think 7 points from these games, as long as they're from the right games, i.e. get something at Oxford, I think that'll be enough to see us through. I think beat Wigan. I think we can beat Wigan. I'm not being arrogant, but I think we can beat Wigan. Then you go into Tuesday night, Oxford, biggest game, really, with fans in this stadium in years and years, years and years.
Absolutely. I'm gutted I can't make it on Tuesday. We were planning on going on Tuesday and then staying down at the in-laws to go to the Cheltenham game. But unfortunately, we've got things that are happening on Tuesday and Wednesday that mean we can't make it over to Oxford. So I'm absolutely gutted. But we will be going to Cheltenham, and possibly.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge at the moment. I'm not going to Cheltenham. I'm booked to go to a gig, which was booked weeks ago. When you think, well, there's no way that's not going to be a game to go to.
Yeah,
is it? I know you go to Cheltenham anyway because you've got kind of connections with the area. But I would like to have gone, but a little bit late. Oxford is going to be a late one. I know Matt, my mate Matt, wants to go. He's probably still stinging a little bit from being seven balled on the stag weekend, by the way. Oh, dearie me.
Got a habit of doing that with people recently, haven't you, guys?
I didn't seven ball him. It wasn't me. It was another lad. It was a lad called Pete. So if Keith Fletcher's listening to this, by the way, Keith, Pete did tell me that that you mentioned you were a fan of the podcast. So I went to primary school with a guy called Pete Nutting from Holton Beckering. Lovely guy. And I hadn't seen him for years. He was on the stag weekend and he turned up and he goes, well, I don't want to give you a big head, but Joyner I've been working with saying how much he likes listening to your podcast. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. And it's Keith Fletcher. So thank you for that. So, yeah, look, the thing is, I feel that this podcast is the calm before the storm.
Yep.
because Sundays we'll be looking back at Wigan, looking ahead to Oxford. Next Thursdays we'll be looking back at Oxford, looking ahead to Cheltenham. And then the Cheltenham one will be looking back, knowing whether we're going to need something against the champions on the final day of the season. So, we've had fun. We've had a chuckle. We've had a laugh. But there's a nervous energy bubbling underneath everything that we do, I think. It'll be bubbling under Jack now. He's got another hour. And let me see how long we've been recording. He's probably got another hour to go. I don't know how. No, that's a half marathon, isn't it? How long's a marathon?
About a week for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, I drove it once. I don't actually know whether it's a marathon or a half marathon he's doing, to be honest.
Oh, keep it up. Keep, one foot in front of the other, Jack. All the positive energy.
I think he understands how running works. I think it is a marathon. Manchester, my plan is for the podcast to take me from 15 kilometres to 27 kilometres.
Oh, spot on.
It's a marathon. Wow.
That's a hell of an effort, that is.
It is.
I think just going back to the games, I think something that I said to Charlie and a couple of other people over the weekend, like when we were 15 points behind, there was that kind of, sod it, we can still make the playoffs, it'll be fine. And it was all just really flippant and really, we can't really do it, but maybe we can. And then now that we're almost in the driving seat, technically we still are in the driving seat, it's in our hands. If we beat Oxford, we've got more of a say in anything than we did have, 3 or 4 weeks ago. But now that we're in the driving seat, it's just like you say, that nervous energy that's kicking in, and I hope it doesn't seep through on Saturday, and I hope it doesn't impact everything that's going on the pitch too much. I just hope that it sounds like it's pretty much a sellout again on Saturday. So I just hope the atmosphere is, ramped up, and it really gives the lads as much support as we possibly can, because we know what a difference a full Cintur Bank can make to everything on the pitch. And look, if the atmosphere at the end of the Orient game is anything to go by, it has every possibility of being another special game, doesn't it?
It does. But what I think is that there is that nervous energy. If it goes down to the last day of the season, and I've done some maths and working out, and I think it could go down to the last game of the season. And if I'm right, which I'm often not, it could be between us, Barnsley and Blackpool on the final games of the season. I think Oxford have got a tough week. And just for those who didn't read it, they've played teams in the current top 10 9 times under Des Buckingham. That's a potential for 27 points, and they've taken 3.
Oh, wow.
And they've got to play 3 teams in the playoff race in the space of a week in Peterborough
and they're missing
Stevenage. And they're missing Cameron Brannigan, I think, aren't they? So it's a big ask. Blackpool are on a decent run. They've put themselves right in the we keep saying in the conversation, it's one of those buzz thing words that pops up. We were saying it a couple of weeks ago with Charlie, but they've put themselves in the frame as well, and they've not got a bad run. But they do have Reading away on the final game of the season, which I think is a big one. And they do have Barnsley to play. I think Barnsley have still got Reading to play. There's some big, big games. It's mad to think 4 games from the end of the season, there is absolutely no clarity about which one of the 5 teams, Barnsley, us, Oxford, Stevenage and Blackpool, will take those final 2 places. Barnsley fans believe that they will not, because they are bad. And their fixture list actually is not easy at all.
No.
I think they've got, I was going to say off the top of my head, but I'm lying, I'm clicking.
I think they've got Portsmouth. They've got Reading at home, Portsmouth away, Blackpool away, and then Northampton at home, last game of the season.
Yeah, and I think even the Northampton one's not easy. Northampton are a decent side, and if they're on their bottoms, Barnsley, I've got them down for 78 points because I've got them beating Northampton. I think so, and like I say, I think Oxford could be out of it a week on Saturday.
Okay.
Or could be struggling, because I think they'll struggle to pick up points against us, Peterborough and Stevenage. I think I've got them for 2 points in that run.
Yeah.
But they've got Exeter last game of the season, which they should win.
Yeah, just looking back at Barnsley quickly, it's something that I'd noticed, but we really derailed their season, didn't we?
I think they were on the cusp. I think it was one of those things where you're like when you're watching your team and you go, we're going to get a hammer in some point. We're going to get a hammer in some point.
Yeah.
And then somebody gives it. I mean, you say that we derailed the season, but they beat Carlisle and Burton since then.
Yeah, but I mean, that's
Carlisle. Although, to be fair, you're right, actually, yeah, because they'd only lost from Exeter up to us, and since then they've lost three. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, you're quite right. Yeah, we so, did.
Yeah, it's,
well, there we go. I think we should end the podcast now on me telling you you're right. I've died out on that.
It's a rare thing. It's like a total eclipse, isn't it? It happens once every God knows how many years, and it only lasts for about 3 minutes.
So last Friday, we were doing, at the Stag weekend, we were doing Zorb football.
And oh, after we about did that 20... on a Stag. It's fucking exhausting, isn't it?
Yeah, shit, yeah, yeah. So we took the Zorbs off after 15 minutes, like, this is crap, let's play. Bear in mind, on my team was former Lincoln United midfielder Scott Lohman was on our team, so I was quite happy with that. I thought we're going to do well. And on the other team was former Horncastle Town clubman of the year and substitute Dave Adams, so I thought we're laughing it. And anyway, we, by the way, scored, nutmegged. Anyone who's listening who knows Dale Rowson, he was a defender, played for Horncastle Town. Great, lovely footballer for a Sunday league. Megged him for a goal. Just as he told me that I was being too clever, and then I megged him for an assist. And I scored. But we were like 8 or 9-5 up. And then the guy says, Lex goal wins. And that's what this is for you, me telling you that you've got one thing right. It's like you're saying, that's it, Lex goal wins, we're gone, we're done. We're winding it all. We're done and dusting now. Let's go. Hack up, go home. It's my ball.
Oh, dear. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's obviously another huge game. We've got as much as Darren Ferguson's going to, point to us, we've got 4 cup finals now.
I thought we were finishing, Ben, and now you're going off on another bloody
We challenge. Are. I'm not. I'm wrapping up. I'm saying we've got 4 cup finals.
You don't
finals.
Do it as well as me.
4 cup finals left. It's going to be massive. But once again, thank you to everybody that's given us some money for Sunday. If you're going to be there, say hello. But we'll see you next time out. And I'm actually really grateful you and Chris are doing the podcast on Sunday, because I'm probably going to be knackered.
Jesus, so am I.
Right, we'll see you next time. Up the imps.
Up the imps.
It's the 90th minute and all your mates around watching the imps on iFollow. You've got your McNugget share boxes on the go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, but then you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.